Amen. Good morning, church. It is great to see everybody out today. Look out and see these lovely mothers and grandmothers and all the children and grandchildren sitting nearby them. I want to certainly wish a happy Mother's Day. We know that we love the Lord when we keep His commandments. And nine times in the Scripture we are taught, both in the Old Testament, the Law of Moses, as well as the New Covenant in Christ, we are taught, honor your father and your mother. Our brother just read it to us so clearly here in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, didn't he? But the question becomes, how do we honor our mothers? What does that look like? And to begin, I want to tell you a story. I want to start with a question. And the question applies to everyone in the room, except for Brother Tim Fannin. And the question is this. Do you know the name Anna Maria Jarvis? Anna Maria Jarvis, who was born in 1864 and lived to 1948. Born in West Virginia, the ninth of 11th children. Can you imagine that? 10 brothers and sisters? Moms, can you imagine 11 children? When Anna Maria was 12 years old, she began to seriously consider the question, how do you honor your mother? It really came home to her because she was sitting in a Bible class that her mother was teaching. Her mother was teaching a Bible class on mothers of the Bible. And at the end of the class, her mother said this, quote, I hope that someone, sometime, will found a Memorial Mother's Day commemorating her for the matchless service she renders to humanity in every field of life. She is entitled to it, end quote. And at her mother's grave service in 1905, Anna Maria recalled those words and determined to honor her mother. You shall have a Mother's Day. In 1907, she began to aggressively campaign to establish a National Mother's Day. In 1908, the first Mother's Day celebration in the city of Philadelphia was held. Anna Maria became a frequent speaker and eloquently promoting her cause using every platform at her disposal. By 1909, 45 states observed Mother's Day. And then in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson made the official announcement proclaiming Mother's Day as a national holiday to be held on the second day of May. Anna Maria Jarvis is the founder of Mother's Day. Now, what do you do to honor your mother? Wow. Get a national holiday? Forget about it. None of us are going to be able to do that. She did that one. How do you honor your mother? And as much as I love that story, that true story, it's not done. There's a twist. And the twist is this. By the end of her life, Anna Maria Jarvis began petitioning to rescind Mother's Day. She was troubled and disappointed at what she saw as the commercialization of the holiday. She accused the confection, floral, and greeting card industries of corrupting a day that was supposed to be one of sentimental reflection and memorial and honor for all mothers. She was disgusted at the idea that people would buy some chocolates or a printed greeting card as a cheap substitution for truly honoring mothers. A few purchased tokens of celebration was not honoring your mother, Anna Maria believed. So what is honoring your mother? How do we honor our mothers? Well, as I mentioned, the Bible is the one that teaches us to honor your father and your mother. The Bible teaches us about honoring your mother. And I think Mother's Day is a fine thing. I absolutely do. But we have to respect that God's people have honored their mothers for millennium. And we can go to the book of Proverbs. I think it is especially helpful to us with practical instruction. For it gives us almost do's and don'ts of honoring your mother. The Bible says, honor your mother. And this morning we're going to spend a little time in the Proverbs to observe first three things that do not honor your mother, do not bring honor to mother. And then three ways, three paths that honor your mother. Let's go to the Word of God together. And so the first point is, that's not honoring your mother. Be turning your Bible with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, as we observe the first of three ways that these don't honor your mothers. The first is this. Number one, forsaking the teaching of your mother. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8 from the ESV, I have it up on the screen. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pennants for your neck. That's what the ESV says. What the New King James says is, do not forsake the law of your mother. Maybe some of your versions, translations have that you're reading. You see, according to the Bible, a God-given work of mothers is to put some rules, put some teaching, put some laws in our lives, and let us appreciate that their law, their teaching, is for the benefit of the family, is for the benefit of their children. If you were to continue reading in this first chapter of Proverbs, you will find that there are these warnings. Listen to your father, don't forsake the law of your mother, and then these warnings. Do not consent with sinners who would entice you to violence. Don't go along with theft and crime and evil. You see, the rules of the house against all those influences and associations that can lead to crime are there to bless the children, bless her children, and to protect them and to make their lives better. Almost the exact same words are found in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. Go with me to Proverbs 6, if you would, and verse 20. The scripture says there, Proverbs 6, verse 20, my son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law or the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. What do we see about mother's law and mother's teaching? Her teaching is to prepare you for life. That in God's providence and grace, she has an indispensable role of molding your character and your heart in God's will. With her advice, with her instruction, that will lead you, that will keep you, that will guide you as you grow to adulthood, as you leave the home and lead your own life. And so no, we do not forsake, we do not cast off, we do not neglect, we do not rebel against the wishes of our parents, our mothers. We are to obey. Disobedience and rebellion, that's not honoring your mother. Forsaking the law and teaching of your mother, that's not honoring your mother. Back talk and door slamming, okay? That's not honoring your mother. Doing things that you know good and well your mother is opposed to or would hurt your mother, that is not honoring your mother. It's the opposite that honors her, and that is obedience. Don't forsake the law of your mother. Obedience is shown with our attitude as well as our behavior. I think about the Holy Spirit's words in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Youth, children, obey your mother. What does that mean? Well, that means doing what they ask when they ask. That's actually what obedience means. Doing what mother asks of you when she asks of you. You honor them when you don't pretend that you don't hear them. What? Earbuds? What, Mom? What? What? Don't pretend you don't hear your mother. Don't neglect her. Don't put it off. Respond to her. Don't make her tell you five times. Don't make her yell. Respond. Acknowledge. Do what they tell you when they ask. This is about obedience. This is the path of wisdom. It's smart because obeying parents teaches us to obey authority. And in this life, there's authority. It starts with mom and dad, but it goes on. You're going to interact with teachers and you're going to interact with principals. You go on. You're going to have bosses and people that you need to answer to in your work. There are government authorities, leaders in our land that we need to respect. And the source of all authority is God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to know Him and to respect Him. We begin learning this at home. We begin learning this by honoring father and mother. Perfect example, Jesus Christ was obedient to his parents, obedient to his mother. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. We've sung a lot about this time in the life of Jesus this morning when he's a child with Joseph and Mary. And what we have here is the Son of God placing himself in subjection to who? To his parents, honoring them, honoring father, honoring mother in obedience. And what we learn is we are actually pleasing God when we are honoring mother and father in this way. You're obeying God. It's a blessing and it benefits you. It makes you more like Jesus, and that's what all Christians want to be. So I got to tell you, it's not honoring your mother when you forsake the teaching of your mother. I'll give you a second one. This is not. I'm not saying go home and do this. I'm saying, hey, this is going on in your life. You might want to check it. This does not honor your mother. Number two, choosing foolishness. Choosing a path and a life of what the proverb writer calls foolishness. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Proverbs 15 verse 20, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Proverbs 17 verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Oh, those are some pretty words, aren't they? Grief, despising, bitterness. Not words that I want to hear. Hope these aren't words that characterize your family or your heart. Of course, this is not honoring your mother. It talks about the fool here. What does that mean? Does the proverb writer have something against a sense of humor? The fool in the book of Proverbs is not talking about a court jester. The fool in the book of Proverbs is not talking about a comedian. The fool in the book of Proverbs is not talking about somebody who has a great sense of humor, like me, or your dad, with all his jokes. That's not foolishness, okay? That's not the foolishness we're talking about. What are we talking about here in the book of Proverbs? Foolishness in Proverbs is understood as making the decision and choosing the life paths away from God. Making the decision and choosing the life paths even against God, contrary to God. What Proverbs makes clear is that our life decisions don't just impact ourselves. Now they do. You'll read a myriad of verses in the book of Proverbs about the pain and the hardship and the judgment that befalls fools. You hurt yourself acting like a fool, as the Proverbs defines it. But more than that, look at these verses on the screen. Our foolish choices impact our families. We choose these paths of foolishness and it impacts our parents. Godly mothers are wounded when they witness their children reject the values that they were taught or leave the faith that they once held. I can't speak today as a mother. I'm not a mother. I'm a father. I can speak as a parent. I can speak as a parent to tell you that there is a lot of self-doubt and second-guessing that goes along with parenting. And for Christian parents, we're trying to model faith. We're trying to instill faith and love for God in our children. We see them as blessings and we're stewards of the blessings. It is the greatest joy to have children. Thank you. And on to that I know for some sisters in the Lord, for some sisters, it is their dream come true to have children. That when they were coming up, school was fine. They did school. And, work's good. But you know what their dream was? You know what they really wanted? They wanted to be married. And they wanted to have kids. That was the dream. I want to be mom. I want to be a mom. I want to be a homemaker. I want to raise up the children. That's the dream. And they're blessed to be married and they're blessed to have the kids and they're all about it. When the babies are little, they're all about it. And it's nursing and it's changing diapers and then the kids get a little bigger and they're all about it and it's potty training and it's teaching them to dress themselves. And they get a little bigger and then they're all about it because they're there to help with the homework and do the PTA. And they get a little bigger and they're all about it because they're volunteering for carpool and they're going to be there for sports and scouts. Of course, all along they're all about it in the church. And they want their children to have Bible classes and have prayer and have devotions at home. They're just all about it. And then one day, or then they begin to sense, or then they begin to see, things start changing. Life is about raising these kids, but then the kids don't listen. Life's about raising the kids, but then the kids rebel. The children, they're doing things that you taught them against. And they're not into the family. They're not really into spending time together with the family. You start to worry what's going on in their lives. I'm feeling isolated now. Maybe with some kids, you know, they start getting into trouble. You start getting contacts from the school. Or maybe it's, you know, bad trouble, the kind that involves the law. Some look at their kids and realize, no, they've got bad friends around them. How did that happen? Well, they're watching the way that they act around their little boyfriend and their little girlfriend, and they are just way too familiar with that little boyfriend and little girlfriend. We don't like that. We get a sense or a suspicion. Maybe they're hurting themselves. Maybe it's with cutting. Maybe it's with some other kind of drug. Some of these other influences. They start making the strangest declarations and questions. We're not sure how to process. They're not sure that they're a boy today or a girl today. And they come and tell you, I don't think I believe in God. And there is kind of this umbrella expression in the book of Proverbs that captures so much of what we just described. And it is this word foolishness. Choosing the paths away from God. Choosing the paths contrary to the will and the way of God. That's foolishness. And it is so difficult and so painful to see children that are big enough and old enough to be making their decisions for themselves acting like the proverbial fool. It's hard. It's so hard. It's so hard raising kids when they get the rebellious strength and the strong will in them. Julie and I have a very dear friend now. She's about our age. Great Christian woman, godly woman, wife, mother, the whole deal, right? But she'll tell you, when she was younger and in her teens, she was wild. She was real wild. She was getting into trouble wild. She was sneaking out of the house wild. And one night, it just came to a head between her and her mother. Good saintly Christian woman. And her mother was so upset and so fit to be tied. She didn't know what to say. She finally just ended the discussion by yelling, I hope you have a daughter just like you. She was crushed. She starts to cry. She goes running down the hallway into her room. The little brother goes in to console her crying tears in the room. And she comes up close and he says to her, now you know mommy didn't really mean that. She was just mad. She was just upset. We all say things we don't really mean when we're upset. You know she doesn't want you to have a daughter like you. Can I encourage my sisters in Christ this morning? And the sisters in Christ who actually feel some grief today. Actually feel a little bitterness today. You are still their mother. And do not give up on your dream and your joy of your children and in these difficult times. I want you to remember this morning that the children of our Lord rebelled against Him. What did He do? How did He respond? And in one word, it is agape. It is this love unconditional. It is this love of an act of goodwill acting toward their good, toward their ultimate good. I want you to understand you are where you are supposed to be in God's providence. And with this family, you are the light of Christ in their life. And you may be the only light of Christ in their life right now. Don't you go out and know that you aren't alone. God is with you. Your church family is with you. There are older sisters in the church who have been where you are very near where you are, and they can help you. We can help each other when we're finding the grief and the bitterness of children choosing foolishness. But we do recognize and we feel it. Choosing these paths of life away from God or contrary to God, it doesn't honor your mother. It doesn't honor that Christian mother that worked so hard to teach you the way of God. I give you a third one from the Proverbs. Again, don't do this. This is not honoring your mother. And that is despising your mother in her old age. in Proverbs 23 and verse 22, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. When she is old. Children are parents' social security, according to the New Testament, right? Before there were the social programs and the social helps for the aged and the infirm, and when I say before, I mean like for thousands of years, there's the family that God has given. Okay, and in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 4, the Christians are taught, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Christians know that regardless of what the state or any social services can do, there is the family. And aging is part of life, and our mothers get older. And especially if dad is not in the picture. Children and Christian children understand it's time to repay the parents. It's time to minister to them. Christians do not despise or neglect their aging parents, their aging mother. Again, I think about the perfect example of Jesus. And even as he is dying upon the cross, he makes provision for Mary. In John 19, verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother. Now he's crucified when he sees his mother. He sees his mother and the disciple whom he loves standing by. He said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Jesus was not going to be around physically to tend to the needs of Mary. But he saw to those needs, and he saw to those needs with John the Apostle. And brothers and sisters in Christ, you may not be the one who can meet every need of an aged or an infirm parent personally, but you do have to see that those needs are met. We need to remember them and honor them, and particularly in older age. Moms and parents, they deserve the best care that we can provide. And even if it comes to a place where we might risk our parents of accusing us, you're despising me. What? Why would mom ever say that? Why would dad ever say that? Because you're starting to have hard conversations like, maybe you don't need to be driving now. Maybe someone else should be doing the driving. Maybe we need to figure out a better place to live that will suit your needs in this time of life. There was an older sister in Tennessee. She was a widow lady and sharp as a whip. And she gave me a piece of advice one time. She goes, you can't tell your kids when you fall. I said, oh? She said, you only get three. After you tell them that third fall, they move you. They make you move. So save them. Save them for the bad ones. And you know what? Sometimes elderly parents have to move in with their kids. And sometimes children have to meet the financial obligations. Because actually the parents have outlived their money. And sometimes children have to speak to their parents about the driving issue or the housing issue. So they get the proper attention and care. The golden years can be difficult years. And that's when we need to remember our mothers, not neglect our mothers. If we forsake them, we are despising them. That's not honoring our mothers. Honoring our mothers goes throughout all these stages of life. So certainly Solomon shows us the way that children live has the ability to bring mother's heart grief, but also great honor and joy. Let's talk about the joy. Number two in your notes. I'll say it this way from the book of Proverbs. So here's how you honor your mother. It wasn't all that. Beware of those warnings. Don't do those things. Do these things. And the first is this. In Proverbs 23 verses 24 and 25, we see that we have the need of practicing righteousness. Proverbs 23 verse 24. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Ah, the father of the righteous, the one who bore the righteous, practicing righteousness. Actually, this verse shows a couple of things. The first is practicing righteousness. And it's more important than any achievement is that of a righteous character. I went through the Proverbs. I'm not going to read them all to you right now. But just put together a profile. This is not exhaustive, but this can start your own study. But a profile, what does it mean to be a righteous person or to practice righteousness in the book of Proverbs? I'll give you a few. The righteous man understands that the Lord provides. And that's a great peace to a mother when she sees that the children are trusting in the Lord. They have a foundation in the whirlwind. Again, that foundation is God. It is faith. And the parents feel good to see their children on a firm foundation because there are storms in life. That they are surrounded with good friends, and the importance of associations comes up again and again in the book of Proverbs. That the people around the children are those that are going to encourage them to do right in the sight of God and not to lead them away. The righteous are marked by their prayer. And what a joy it is, what a wonder it is to hear your children pray. And it's something to start with when they are very little, to teach them and show them to have that time of family prayer together at night. But so that they continue prayer, they need to pray. That they are generous, Proverbs 21 verse 26, as opposed to selfish. They get back up. Not they get back up, they get back up. Even if they are knocked down seven times, they get up again. Proverbs 24, verse 16. Who's propping them back up? Who's helping them back up? That's about the strength of the Lord. That's about the strength of the Lord. They don't quit. They're not beat down by life. They get back up. When the righteous are in authority is a blessing to others, is a blessing to all the people. And you want to do those things where your mother says, oh, I'm so proud. And people look at you and they appreciate you. But it doesn't really matter if you're a scoundrel and a foolish person. You've just raised your profile for the greater shame and embarrassment. But when you are a righteous person and you achieve, when you are a righteous person and you are in authority, God can use you mightily to be a blessing to all others. To be a blessing to all others. He thinks of others. He thinks of even the poor. Again, not selfish, not just talking to people that can do something for him. He does for others. She does for others. And they speak wisdom. Proverbs 10, verse 31. What's going on in their heart? Godly things. What comes out of their mouth? Good speech. Wise speech. Godly things. And that dovetails nicely with the next thing that we do that honors mothers. We practice righteousness. Number two, choose wisdom. We talked about the path of foolishness, choosing against the way of God, contrary to the way of God. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, that God is first in our life, and let's serve Him. Let's build our life upon His Word. Again, from Proverbs 23, he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Choose wisdom, not unrelated to the Word of God, not unrelated to righteousness. Again, I think about our perfect example in Jesus. How does he grow up? He increases in wisdom and stature, Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, and in favor with God and men, that this is the way. He submits to his parents. They are raising him, and he is growing, and he's growing in wisdom, and he's growing in stature. We do gain wisdom. There's the wisdom of the Proverbs. That's inspired. It comes from God. But then there's life wisdom. The important things that we learn from our parents. I'd love to ask you. I'd love to go around the room if we only had time. What's the best advice your mother gave you? What's that turn of phrase that still rings in your ears? It was something your mom always said. And then one day you said it to your own kids because it was good wisdom. It's good advice. Collected a couple of things here. This is advice that a mother would never give. Maybe your mom told you these things. I never heard this from my mom. My mom never said, how on earth can you see that television sitting so far back? Move closer to the screen. My mother never did that. My mother never said, yeah, I understand. I used to skip school a lot too. Never got that from my mom. My mother never said, Let me smell the shirt. Yeah, that's good for another week. Didn't get that from my mom. My mom never said, curfew's a time we shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison. You know, do your own thing. I didn't hear that from my mom. I'll tell you one other thing I never heard from my mom. I never was taught by my mother, forget about the napkin, use your sleeve. Did you get that one? Never got that from my mother either. They bring us so much wisdom because they are the first, particularly the Christian mothers, and God bless all you Christian mothers in here. They're some of the first people we see in our lives who are doing the best to embody the Word of God and practice it, and it makes such an impression. Choose wisdom. Choose God's path. It honors Father. It honors Mother. Finally, then, number three, bless her. Bless her. Proverbs 31, verse 28, her children rise up and they call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. I really appreciated this quote. I put it in your notes from Victor Hugo. A mother's arms are made of tenderness, and children sleep soundly in them. So much of that Proverbs 31 woman explains how it is that not only the children, but the husband and the servants all sleep well at night because of who she is and what she does. And the point is this, it does need to be recognized. Let her be blessed. And it is so important that husbands, that fathers model this. The children rise up and call her blessed. So does her husband. What does he say? You excel them all. You excel them all. Let the husbands, let the fathers be the one to lead with the good word. Just treat the wife kindly, cherished, and with courtesy. And I'll tell you why it's so important. It's so important because it's going to teach your boys how they need to behave and treat their mother. It's going to teach your boys how they need to behave and treat a wife. And it's important for your daughters to see it too. Your daughters need to understand this is how they're going to be treated, and this is how they desire to be treated by their own husbands. They need a man that does that. And a godly wife is to be praised. A godly mother is to be praised. And affection is shown in a number of ways. I love you, Mom. Hugs and gifts and compliments and service. We need to give our mothers affection. They deserve it. They have done well. Let their works praise them. Let's not be the ones that take them for granted. And we understand this morning the true blessing comes from the Lord. But watch it. The Lord intends to use your family, use you, to bless your mother, to be a blessing to your mother. Cards, flowers, and chocolates, and these are nice gifts. And these are tokens of affection for a mother, but honoring your mother, that is so much more. And the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. I appreciate so much your good attention. If you want to put your Bibles away and put your notes away. I'm just going to have a prayer with you. We're going to end with a prayer, and then we're going to sing a song. If someone is moved by the gospel of Christ as they've been taught it and the influence of their family or other study, you'll have an opportunity to be baptized into Jesus and to become a Christian this morning. We'll do that when we sing the song. But for right now, bow with me. Our great God and Father, our hearts are full today of joy and gratitude. Father, as we've gone to your word and we have seen the power of your plan for a family, and we are greatly attuned, Father, that in the society around us and among our neighbors, there's many broken families, broken in a lot of ways, but it all goes back to sin, it all goes back to selfishness, and a walking away from your word and will, and even living contrary to it. And Father, insofar as those things have been going on in our lives, in our hearts, and in our homes, Please forgive us. Please help us, Father, to give honor where honor is due as you teach us in the Word. Father, for the wonderful Christian mothers and grandmothers you've placed in our life, for those of us in the room that have known that joy, thank you so much. Father, for those wonderful saintly women in the room that did not grow up in a Christian home, thank you, Father, for their faith and their conviction and their determination to break cycles and start new traditions, to walk in the way of the Lord and build a home around that. I pray your blessings upon all the families in the congregation, including my own, upon all the mothers in the congregation, including my wife. And I pray, Lord, that we might build up one another, be an encouragement, and truly a place of honor for all who come in contact with us, that they might see the light of Christ in this way in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you need to become a Christian, come forward to make the desire known as we stand and sing. Won't you come now?